at WSBC. Yeah. This was welcome back to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour.
Yeah.
This show is presented to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, Mike Hegarty, Buick, GMC, Volkswagen of Oak Lawn, and Carol Ann Gallagher, personal injury attorney at law. My name's Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. We're in Studio A, so tonight Bill is to the right of me.
That's right.
Oh. Hello.
And to the right of him is the greatest person in the world, Clayton O'Brien.
Hi.
We're facing a different direction.
We're facing east tonight.
Is that, where's the moon?
I don't know. We can't look up.
We can't see the sky.
Bill, quickly run outside and look at the moon and come back and report on it.
No, I'm okay.
Go get the coordinates of the moon real quick, will you?
Anybody got the coordinates to the moon tonight?
Go walk in the liquor store across the street.
This guy's over on Milwaukee Avenue. Sure, no problem. Hold on.
You got a pen?
Hey, we're doing a bit inside, and we need the moon coordinates. Anybody got them?
Most Uber drivers know the coordinates of the moon.
They should.
That's they have to read a book called The Coordinates of the Moon before they get onboarded
really?
At Uber.
Yeah. Is the book named Coordinates of the Moon not necessarily always about what the real coordinates of a moon are? They're just more or less some crazy
stories.
Just a
book of random numbers.
Yeah. Actually, it's a book of random numbers.
Phone numbers of past Uber employees. Who knows? Something crazy.
Now, see, we're on to our first idea of the episode. It could be perhaps a best-selling book would be confidential Uber stories. Uber drivers for each in a different city tell a crazy story, and you call it Coordinates of the Moon.
I know.
Is the name of the book.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Stories of Uber.
I think Uber drivers are staring at the moon while they're sitting in traffic because they don't know how to drive.
I think everybody's an Uber driver, so you're just saying that the general public is bad driver.
Everybody's a cab driver.
If you want to be a cab driver, be a cab driver. You don't have to get a medallion. You want to be a cab driver, be a cab driver.
Take it easy.
You don't have to get a medallion anymore.
No medallions.
No.
You can get auto-onboarded.
Just do it on your phone.
Dad got auto-onboarded this morning. He's got a new job.
Yeah, he's driving a lot.
Sure.
He's using the car.
I know a lot of guys that made some dough with Uber, man.
Do you?
Yeah.
Commercial for Uber, hashtag Uber, Uber.
No, I'm anti.
You're anti-Uber.
I'm pro-cabby.
See, because you don't take too many Ubers because you're not a drinker anymore.
Correct.
People that drink take Ubers, you know?
But I'm pro-cabby. There's something about getting in a cab. It's exciting.
The smell.
The smell, you don't know if the guy's drunk or not. He's spinning around.
Sure.
Well, that's the same thing as an Uber, though.
No, but Uber's got a creepier element to it. It's just some guy named Doug.
I don't know. I think the branding for Uber seems that it's almost safer than your typical
cab drivers.
Cab driver
they've been through a lot to get here and get in that cab and get that.
You had movies where Travis Bickle played a cab driver.
Exactly.
De Niro played an insane cab
don't
driver.
Don't you have a sympathy
people,
for him?
Well, no one's made a movie called Uber Driver yet.
Oh, it's
yet,
coming.
Where a guy has kind of a Bickle meltdown.
Someone will probably do Uber Driver and have it be like scene for scene.
I'm sure it's been pitched a thousand times already.
Uber Driver.
The movie's about an Uber driver.
Now.
I wanted to make a movie about romantic comedy about Uber.
Oh, with Tom Hanks?
It's about a guy who's an Uber driver who falls in love with a girl in the backseat of his Uber. I wanted to call it Uber Love.
That sounds more like a dating show.
Could be that, too.
Ooh. It could be
like
the cash cab, except you're looking for love.
Oh, Mike, we have one. Kumail Nanjiani was in a movie called Stuber.
That's horrible.
That's an action film. So there you go.
Yeah, he picked up an action hero.
Once again, we're late to the game. When was
late.
The first quarter?
Yeah, well, it was nice while it lasted.
Support your local cabbies.
Support your local cabbies.
And daddies and Uber drivers and everybody else.
Yeah, if you go out of town, get in a cab too, if you're in New York or Bloomington,
did you ever
Indiana.
Share a cab with like a random person on the street? Like, you
not,
know how like people share Uber rides? Have you ever been like, hey, you need a cab? I need a cab. Share it?
No. That's only happens in movies.
I know. That happened in real life. I used to share cabs in Lincoln Park.
You want to split a cab with me? Who? You and John Candy?
Yeah, every week, John Candy and I would split a cab. We'd meet on the corner in front of the Second City, and then we'd go out for a few cocktails and... We'd split a cab back home.
It was all about splitting a cab back then.
I used to be inebriated in front of one of those bars, and you'd meet like a couple of girls or whoever, some dude, and you were like, hey, you headed towards Sheffield and Diversity? I'll give you a 10 spot. Just drop me off. Sure.
I've never done that.
It's a pretty insane thing. But
I have hitchhiked with strangers, though.
See, that's worse.
That's way worse. Way worse.
You got any cool hitchhiking stories?
No.
Darn it.
No. I don't remember anything. Thank God.
I wonder, that'd be an interesting social experiment. A guy who tries to, a guy who lives in the western suburbs, tries to hitchhike to work every day for a month. He has a job. He's like a normal job. He's like a computer programmer. It's just you have to make it to work by 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m.
You have to make it to work by the coordinates of the moon.
Yeah, I think
you have to make it to work by 10 a.m. And you have to do it for 30 consecutive days.
10 a.m. is kind of late to the game.
You know
it?
What?
Dude, you're hitchhiking without any...
So, if you start work at 8 a.m., the hitchhike needs to start at 5:30 in the morning.
Well, see, you're getting to that.
You're going
to
end up walking to work for 30 days straight.
Could be.
Pretty much. Backwards with your thumb out.
I think Walter Jacobson should come out of retirement and attempt this.
Is he alive?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
What's he doing?
Investigative journalism, I presume.
Yeah, he's still around. I actually saw one of our good friends just worked on a project with him.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Brian Walsh put something on Facebook. Shout out to you, Brian.
That's why I have Walter Jacobson on the brain.
Probably, yeah.
And because remember when Jacobson played the homeless man and did like an expose on it?
Right,
and,
sure.
Yeah, I think we spoke about that on the show before.
I'm fascinated by that Jacobson-Walter man.
He was a jerk.
Was he? You think so?
He came off as one.
Okay, Walter Jacobson.
Yeah, he's like
there's a lot of
guy.
Guys like that in Chicago, you know, that didn't like Jacobson.
Google Walter Jacobson if you want. Everybody.
Is Ponce the modern day Jacobson?
No, he's kind.
This show's come very full circle early on because, you know, one of the Ponces was an Uber driver.
Right, he did like an expose on that too. I just saw on the news the other day.
He didn't do an expose. He actually had a podcast, I believe, on a reality TV show.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, we're late to the game on all this Uber stuff.
That we got beat by the Ponces.
Never get beat by the Ponces. They may have beat us this time, but we're winning the war.
Of what?
Attrition.
Yeah. Of wits.
We're winning the war of wits against the Ponces. They don't even know that we're fighting.
No,
that's what makes us winners. It's called a sneak attack.
This has gone on for
we have such the upper hand that we've been talking about it for so long, and they don't even know who we are.
Do you know what gives us the upper hand?
What's that?
The fact that we're stocked heavy with McCann's Irish oatmeal and we barrels. Eat it daily. It gives us that sharp rapier wit to come up with Ponce Jacobson tales
jabs.
Of Uber and coordinates of the moon.
Jacobson
know?
Jabs, anyone?
Yeah.
Oh, come again? Jacobson jabs. Okay. Show's presented by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. Hooli's Hooli comes back after these.
Aye.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks.
Welcome back, Hooley's Hooley.
Yes.
It's been a wild episode so far. We've spoken of Uber, the Ponces, the usual topics of this
all
program.
All things that consume your brain.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bill, we were giggling about something at the commercial break. It's the fact that Alligator Bob's in the news.
Oh, I know. We've talked about it. He's like back.
You'll have to explain to everyone who that is.
He's the guy who caught the...
Snappy.
Chance the Snapper.
Chance the Snapper.
The Alligator.
Snappy the Humboldt Chancer.
The Humboldt Park Alligator.
Yeah, there was this article in the
News
Sunshine.
Story of the Year.
Of the
you're in Chicago.
International
could
news
be.
Story.
This Alligator Bob guy is.
But he's got a girlfriend. He's found love. And apparently he found love while he was in town finding Chance the Snapper. So
he's dating an orthodontist.
You know, he's doing a lot of frequent flyer miles apparently back and forth from Florida. And he was invited to go to Joel Murray's, I guess, a charity event. And George Wendt was there. And Cato Kalin was there.
He's hanging out with Cato? From being a nobody to hanging out with Cato?
I heard Cato's Kalin a good dude, man. I would like to hang out with Cato. Listen, I'd like to have Cato on the program.
This is what happened. I caught an alligator, and I became best friends with Cato Kalin. Don't ask me how the two are connected, but they are.
Yeah. Showbiz, pal. That's how.
Hollywood.
Cato, alligators, you know, alligator wrestlers, all of it.
Well, do you think Cato and Alligator Bob and an alligator better not?
I do know the connection between all of them. They all have the same publicist. Betsy Shepherd is her name.
Okay.
So that's she's working that circle and she gets a lot of press out of these guys. Does a very good job.
Well, there it is.
Shout out to Betsy Shepherd.
She's setting him up with the orthodontist. This is all public relations.
She's an orthodontist?
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Oh, really? I don't know. I didn't see that. Is that maybe?
Why is that
I
so
didn't
strange?
Read the article.
To you?
Thoroughly.
What, Clay?
Why is that so strange to you? She doesn't work at MUDS, but...
No, she doesn't work at MUDS. I wonder if she has my bicuspid.
She's a sophomore at MUDS.
Alligator Bob shows her his alligator trophies, and she whips out Patty's bicuspid.
Alligator Bob.
Alligator, you don't see this?
No, Alligator Bob wears a necklace with an alligator tooth on it, and she wears a necklace with Patty's bicuspid, mangled bicuspid on it.
My missing bicuspid. Man. Yeah. For the radio listeners, I lost a tooth at age 39 recently.
Yeah, what was that, about 4 months ago?
And I pride myself on my nice, sweet, straight smile. And
are you over that yet?
No, man. I gotta wait it out and get the implant done.
Get the wax put in there.
The
That's slang for implant.
Get the wax put in there. Your gap's freaking me out.
I didn't see anything, you know... I know I brought him up, but I did not see anything about his girlfriend being an orthodontist.
Well, she is.
But it's a nice thought.
Or she's training to be one.
But it's a nice thought, Bill says.
It's nice thinking about her looking at his teeth.
Well, it's nice to know that Alligator Bob has found someone who loves him and has a nice
professional. She loves him. They've been on like one date.
They've been on a lot more than one date, apparently.
Really? They went to where'd they go?
They went to a petting zoo.
I think a Cubs game or something.
Something like that. I think a Cubs game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where you take an orthodontist.
Yeah, I mean, here's a quote. He says, I can't find anything I don't like about Chicago. He just got back into his home state on Monday, and he says, every trip I've been making up there, I've been more excited. There's extra awesomeness each time. You know, he's in love. He's happy to be back here
There's
in Chicago.
Something very
and that, ladies and gentlemen, is the segment where Bill reads from the internet.
Yeah, Alligator you. Bob's in love.
Matthew,
I found that chuckling today, yesterday when I saw that. But
yeah,
what? It's been everywhere in the media. This Alligator Bob, everywhere.
I know
can't
it's
get it
like
off my brain.
Just when you thought he went away, he found a way back.
Well, exactly.
You try to see news in Chicago that isn't so like,
devastating.
Sometimes I watched that. You know,
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Yes.
I already like where this is going.
Pause. Is going to be. He's a teacher at the University of Texas at Austin now.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Is he teaching toy weapons?
No, he's teaching film and radio communications.
Oh.
All right. We got to send him a tape of the show.
Let's go sit in a lecture.
We'd like to be a part of one of your lectures where you interrupt our show and direct us for a little while and show us how it's all done. You know?
What do you say, Matt?
What do you say? You with me?
Hey, Matt, how you doing? What are you doing?
All right, well, Academy Award winning, this is where Patty reads from the internet.
Oh, okay.
Matthew McConaughey has landed a new role. He's a University of Texas professor, but it's not for a movie. McConaughey, a 1993 alum with a film degree. He went to the University of Texas at Austin.
Yeah.
Was appointed professor of practice at the Moody College of Communication starting in the fall semester, which began Wednesday. So if you were lucky enough to get him, you didn't know what was going to happen, right?
Wow.
Wouldn't that be interesting to go home at Christmas time and go, McConaughey's my film teacher?
It'd be amazing. You
know? It would be amazing.
Yeah. Wooderson's teaching you film?
The Lincoln Lawyer? Get out of here.
Tell me about Mud.
Mud is a great movie. Mm-hmm. The university announced that the Dazed and Confused actor, who has strong ties to the school, will join the department. Yes, he has a passion. Yes, moving on. Yeah. Read that already. Dang it!
Okay.
He has a passion for teaching and all things cinematic that is palpable, even infectious, said department chair Noah Eisenberg.
Sure.
McConaughey has been a visiting instructor since 2015, co-teaching the script-to-screen film production class.
Wow.
So McConaughey gave a little quote. He said, "It's the class I wish I would have had when I was in film school. Working in the classroom with these students gives me a chance to prepare them." I got prepared by McConaughey. Doesn't everyone want to get prepared by McConaughey?
That sounds like a standard teacher comment.
My daughter's getting prepared by McConaughey in
Texas,
film.
Yeah, making big-time movies.
Making big time movies. McConaughey said in the news release that making movies. He made him sound like Bill Clinton. I tried to go into McConaughey and Bill Clinton came out. Making movies, turning words on paper into film is both a science and an art. I don't even know if that's Bill Clinton. I don't know who this is. He's just soft. No matter the time or generation, the elements of truth and genuine joy for the process are timeless.
It's like Nicolas Cage a little bit.
That will always be our classroom focus.
Well, thank you, Mr. McConaughey.
Well, maybe Andrew Luck can coach football there now.
He could.
He's not doing anything.
Yeah, that's a low blow, Clay.
No, it is not.
McConaughey will co-teach the scripted screen class.
Yeah, anything else?
Do you think any graduate of McConaughey's class will become a successful movie star?
Absolutely.
I doubt it. I think they'll fill their head with dreams and lies.
Wes Anderson went to Texas, Austin, didn't he?
Richard Linklater, too, yeah. I believe. Yeah, they got a heck of a
lineage
there. Oh,
that would make sense. That's how McConaughey got. If Linklater went there, that's how he got involved in Dazed Confused. Probably there was a connection there, maybe,
yeah,
from UT Austin.
Saw him walking down the street.
I know that Linklater's an Austin guy. I don't know if he went to UT at Austin. Okay. Look at Mike over there. He's on it. I can see him typing away at it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But you're right, Bill. That would make perfect sense.
Sure.
I'm surprised nobody's tried to remake Dazed Confused yet. I'm sure that'll happen. It's a disappointing reality.
You try to, like, they're going to try to remake it as a 70s movie?
Well, when you thought they would never do it like Ghostbusters.
Right.
That's true.
I don't think Dazed and Confused gets remade.
They'll do it, and it'll be like cell phones everywhere. It'll be like in the 90s, because now the 90s is like the 70s to new people.
Yeah, sure.
Sebastian Maniscalco hosted the MTV Music Awards.
Did you
Sabby.
Watch?
I did not.
Sabby? Is that what we're going to call Sebastian Maniscalco now? Sabby?
Yeah, Sabby.
I love Sebastian Maniscalco. But,
we watched part of it.
Duffy's is closing, Clay.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's not Duffy's Tavern for our radio listeners. Bill and I have both tended a bar there for a while. It's changing ownership. So Monday night we had like a final call. You know, where the owners came in and gave a talk and said, you know, you guys have been great, but we're moving on and we're selling it. And, you know, here's the forewarning of what's going to happen and when the doors are going to close and yada, yada.
Right.
And if you get a call from the new owner, you probably still have a job. If you don't, there's no more guaranteed shifts here or anything more.
Yeah,
like
don't
that.
Take it personally. Just move on. Know right. that we had no control over it.
Sure.
Wow.
But we watched the VMAs and had pizza.
They had the VMAs out in there. And we were like, oh, we got to watch Sebastian Maniscalco. Apparently, he got there were some reviews that said some of the millennials didn't really like that he was kind of attacking them a little bit.
Oh, which, they're sensitive to the
yeah,
jokes.
They're sensitive about everything.
But did you see some of these? I don't know any of these performers anymore. And it reminded me of how old I am.
Exactly.
I'm like, who?
Who
like Cardi B? I don't know who she is. People might be like, you're nuts. You don't know who she is? No, I don't know who Cardi B is.
Yeah, she's...
You do
new,
now.
She's the new, like,
I mean, I know who they are
whatever.
Somewhat, but like DJ Khaled, is that it?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't know any of his songs.
I would know him if he was standing next to me in Burger King.
I was like, where's Pitbull? I don't see Pitbull here.
No, he's out.
He's out.
He's
Mr.
Like,
Mr. Worldwide needs to come back.
He's like 30. He's in the 30 to 40 range now.
Yeah.
Pitbull is only for the 30 and 40-year-olds.
He can't... I mean, they did like a poll, and it was
guys,
like,
you don't want to come over. My mom's and dad are going to be in the backyard listening to Pitbull. It's going to be so.
They said
lame.
The most.
Well, no,
now the most famous guitarist to like millennials, is Taylor Swift. She's like the lead guitar. Like, there's no Slash, Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
there's none
Jimmy
of those
Page,
guys. There's no, yeah,
Eric Clapton.
There's none.
Jimi
of them.
Hendrix.
None.
Pitbull, is what happened. Is what happened to Gloria Estefan?
Whoa,
is that going to happen to Pitbull?
What happened to Gloria Estefan?
What happened to Gloria?
Well, what do you mean? What happened to?
She was really hot at one time, and
yeah,
then
as
she,
everybody is,
and then
I was really hot before I lost this bicuspid,
and then she disappeared. And all you could remember her was, you know, kind of that Latin Miami sound, and now that's how you think of
her.
That
was in like 1982.
Well, is that going to happen to Pitbull within hip hop?
Yeah,
gonna be like,
pretty soon he's
going to
be 60
but if you
years
want
old.
That, you know, a little bit of that Latin vibe or anything like that, put Pitbull on.
Pitbull's age.
Is that
he's
it?
Ageless.
What about.
He's a dog.
Yeah, Pitbull is a dog. We forget these things.
Right.
He's part dog. He'll live forever.
Well,
don't worry, Bill. Pitbull's going to be just fine.
What
Bill's
is the life expectancy of Pitbulls? I mean, maybe there's a formula where we could do that with human years and combine it together. And
to get an accurate reading?
To get an accurate reading of how long we think Pitbull, Mr. Worldwide, might be around.
Might be talked about, you mean?
Might be around to entertain you?
Yeah.
The fame meter.
To get back to these, you know, the VMA, I mean, I'll stray away from Pitbull for a minute. But
please do.
There was this, like, video of, like, I mean, it's so, like... It's not PG anymore.
Oh, no way, man.
You know, it's
no,
like,
Billy. I mean, that's what they were saying about the, you know, Hot for Teacher video.
Oh, this makes that look like, you know, Care Bears. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, I just
times
was like,
changed.
I was watching it and I was like, what? This is what like 12 and 13 year olds are watching?
Yeah. And they're watching way worse than that on the internet. Bill.
Yeah, it's frightening. That's all. And it made me feel really old.
And, you need a time machine.
I need a time machine. I need to get in touch.
Go back and clean up all this television.
Can we go back to the Gloria Estefan days? My goodness.
Sure. I mean, I loved Gloria Estefan. Who didn't?
You gotta really play Gloria Estefan. You kidding?
I didn't really like Estefan that much.
You're gonna like her after this. Which one you got?
I feel like she was kind of forced on me.
Maybe rhythm is gonna get you.
Do we have
that's
that?
A good one, baby.
Yeah. More Hoolies Hooli after this. Gloria.
It's like getting hit by lightning.
It is, like right at the end there.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. A button on that. Welcome back to the Hoolies Hooli.
She makes you wanna, listening to that makes you want to grow a mustache.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could
put on
see
like
that.
A white suit.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Get your tan, get your Rolex on.
Get out of the shower, have a cigarette.
Yeah.
Pretend like it's 1985 again.
When was the last time you got out of the shower and lit a cigarette with the towel on still?
It's a great feeling.
That's like, I think, so 80s. It is. It's like something. Yeah, Nick Nolte, then he comes out of the shower and he has a cigarette before he gets dressed. You know?
Yeah. Mel Gibson and Lethal Weapon.
Mel Gibson, Nolte. You got to have the cigarette scene where he comes out of the shower.
Gary Busey.
Busey's in that world.
Bruce Willis.
Willis is any action star then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't see The Rock getting out of a shower with a heater in his mouth anymore. No,
he doesn't
smoke still
enough. The Rock doesn't smoke enough. We can't have him in this picture.
Yeah, he's not dangerous enough. This guy's a smoker. You know
this
what I mean?
He's got to be smoking the whole movie.
Executives used to say that in Hollywood. What kind of cigarettes is he going to smoke? We got to get Marlboro involved.
Well, we've already talked about this.
Yeah, let's get off.
They made the movie Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
Yeah, that's where it all fell apart.
Mickey Rourke.
That's where what fell apart? The world. You know, when they made Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man, the whole world went to hell. That was the beginning. That was the impetus moment.
That was. We could blame everything.
You're right. You don't see the cigarette with the towel anymore.
Billy still does it.
No.
God, I
haven't. No. I haven't done that since probably 2002.
July of 02, huh?
I left that phase in 02.
Come on, over at 810 Beloit. You know that happened when I used to live over there.
Cigarette and towel. Yeah,
that's definitely took place.
That place needs to be bleached. So what do you think about this whole Andrew Luck thing? I threw his name out there earlier.
Yeah. People are upset. I'm on his side, man.
Did you see like the fans?
Like, why are you going to risk your life and like a lifetime of like feeling like crap?
Right.
You know, he's like, I have more things to do in my life and let me concentrate
on
that.
Like, you won't be able to climb a flight of stairs when you're 50 years old.
You don't want that to happen.
Right.
He's made money. He understands that he's probably has enough to, you know, provide.
He'll just move away and that'll be it.
Well, exactly.
They just had that big thing, you know.
His kid will become a star quarterback or something, you know?
Yeah.
He probably won't let his kid play football.
Oh, that's something. Yeah, I wonder.
Well, you know,
his kid will be Wimbledon champ.
Here's the thing you have to realize about these guys. Is
Ronnie Luck, Wimbledon champ.
Right. I agree with like what he did. I just was watching, you know.
Ronnie Luck.
My show Hard Knocks. Antonio Brown, a guy interviewed him and
said. Oh, yeah, that whole thing
like,
is
he
nuts.
Goes back to his old high school or whatever to give back. And, like, there's a few people that are talking to him, and they're like, I don't know if they were old coaches or just, like, friends of the program or whatever, but there's this clip of a guy saying, like, so what was that whole, like, what's this helmet thing all about? And Antonio Brown pretty much, he says the right thing. He goes, look, it was an older model that I used to play with. He goes, they changed the rules. I said I had to play with a new model.
Right.
He goes, but I only have one head. I only have one life. So I'm going to find the model that I'm most comfortable and feel best playing in. And then when I thought about it that way, I was like, yeah, he's in the NFL. He's playing one of the most violent sports out there. Like, I agree with him. He's like, hey, if you don't like it, then forget it. You know, but like they're paying him enough money where he's like, we're going
to
get this right.
Let's put it this way. If a NASCAR driver wanted to use an older helmet, would they allow him to do it?
Ooh. I don't know. You know, I mean, that's something you'd have to talk to NASCAR about. Like, you know, like, I don't know.
Can we get NASCAR on the phone?
Yeah.
Can we get Roy from NASCAR on the line?
There's probably a couple Roys down in NASCAR headquarters.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Hi, this is the assistant to the president, Roy Callahan. How you doing?
No, he doesn't have a last name. He's just Roy.
Roy from NASCAR.
CEO of NASCAR, Roy, had a few things to say over the weekend. About the helmet controversy. How come CEOs haven't done that shtick yet, you know? What's your name? Unify. You know? Something like that would be, you know, you got Prince, you got Madonna.
I see where you're
going.
You
have The Rock. We've made these tech guys celebrities and stars. I can't believe one of them hasn't just come out all of a sudden and said,
I'm Microchip.
Right.
Chip.
Microchip. Micro-Chip is his last, you know?
I'm Chip. President of Twitter.
President of MasterCard, Microchip, had this to say. Yeah. Right?
That's too weird.
At the Global Economic Forum in, you know.
Data.
In at
Data from Star Trek.
Data 2020 in Las Vegas. Microchip, the CEO of MasterCard, had this to say.
Data from Star Trek signing baseballs at Microchip 2020.
Now that would be cool.
Data was the guy on
Star Trek. He's signing monitors, old monitors that don't work.
Who played Data on Star Trek?
I don't know, but he kind of looks like Furio from The Sopranos.
Data does? The guy, yeah, he always the actor me. Data?
Remember Furio with the ponytail on the
Sopranos? Of course I remember Furio.
His name was...
Brett Spinner. All right. Is that right? Am I pronouncing that right, Mike? Brett Spinner. He played Data.
Weird looking guy.
We got to get Brett Spinner.
Andy Avalos has a little Data to him.
Who's Andy Avalos from?
Meteorologist Andy Avalos?
Yeah, the meteorologist.
Here in Chicago?
I could see him as a Data. If he put on, you know, the correct uniform, he could pass for Data.
Hashtag Andy Avalos at Data.
Andy. Yeah, you could pass for Data from Star Trek if you put the right clothes on, pal. Anyway, is it going to rain tomorrow or what?
I like that Clay pulls Chicago news celebrities into the show. Let's bring up Andy Avalos tonight. Can we do it, Joe? Let's bring him down.
So
Andy Avalos, Pitbull, and Gloria Estefan all walk into a bar, you know,
or on the Millennium Falcon,
or on the Millennium Falcon, watching the MTV Music Awards.
You know, my son keeps asking me for the Millennium. He wants a Lego set Millennium Falcon. His birthday's coming up.
That's Star Wars, right?
Yes, it is, Clay.
Yeah. Okay, I get my space movies mixed up.
And it took him weeks to figure out how to pronounce it. You know, he'd go, I want the Millennium Scalfalpo.
The Millennium Scalfalpo. It's an Italian dish. I go,
the Millennium Falcon. He goes, Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
You know, I go, yeah. And I look at it. It's very expensive. It's like $250. And it's about a zillion pieces.
I'm sure.
Uh-huh. He's like, Dad, we're going to put together the Millennium Falcon? You know?
Never.
No, I'm like... I got to do it. I said, let's make our own Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, let's make one out of bread.
It's only 40 pieces. Look at that. It's a Millennium Falcon. Use your imagination. Make your own Millennium Falcon. You don't need Legos to teach you to have you sit down and have a five-hour project.
Here's some old McCain oatmeal boxes.
They're big collecting items, these things.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
My buddy Brian Murky, he has the Millennium Falcon. Like, he's got like...
He put it together.
Yeah, oh, people. It's awesome. Like, he put
Lego nerds do this like how people do with they're puzzles, essentially.
Right.
They're puzzles. Hey, the Legos are puzzles. Yeah, people got a lot of time to do stuff like that.
No, they're fun and they're good mind exercises. When I get Mike one of those sets at Target or somewhere like that, hashtag Target, you owe me a check. We will, you know, put it together.
It's better than staring at a screen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But screen also, diversion. I do lose my patience as for a while, especially as the kid loses interest, because Mike's attention span is nowhere near long enough to want to put together the Millennium Falcon. It would take like 2 hours a day for like a week to finish that.
Making a plan.
That's when you read from coordinates of the moon and calm everyone down.
You're right, Clay. That's when you just go, you know, do a little work on your novel.
Yep.
I'm thinking about doing it. I think that would be the gift would be trying to attempt to put it together, right? Yeah. There it is, Lego Star Wars Millennium Falcon.
$270 for the Lego Star Wars Millennium Falcon unit number 75105.
Yeah. Hashtag Amazon.
So go ahead.
Yes. So go ahead. Buy it. And throw in a Gloria Estefan CD while you're
throw
at it.
Throw in a Gloria Estefan back set.
That's the other thing. I'm on the fence. I'm like, I can't blow $250 on a Lego set right now. Can I?
Sure.
Because if it doesn't get finished.
It's not going to.
Then I'm like, oh.
It might not even get opened.
Actually, there's guys out there who would buy that and say, don't open it. Put it on, keep it for 40 years.
Put it in a safe.
Right.
Absolutely.
I wish I could give him like my old baseball cards, but he's completely disinterested in any of that
stuff. He doesn't want a Robin Yount from 1990.
Yeah,
I got a Yount too.
Nobody wants a Yount these days. Nobody wants a Yount.
You know how hard it is to sell a Yount?
Kids today, they don't even appreciate a Yount.
An 84 Yount, Topps Yount?
I couldn't even tell you what team he played for.
The Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think I had 12 of them at one point.
I'm going up to the land of cheese.
Are you?
Yeah, next week.
Where? Switzerland?
Lake Winneconne, Wisconsin.
Ooh, Winneconne.
Never been to Lake Winneconne.
You going fishing?
Going fishing.
Have you ever fished before?
I haven't fished in about, it's been over 10 years easily. Okay.
You got a rod?
Nope. I'm using
you got a smart rod?
You
got to bring a smart rod.
We should bring the smart rod up there.
You should be picking up garbage on the side.
Yeah. We're going to go up there like a bunch of Chicagoans. We'll be there Thursday night for the Bears.
You bringing a sack
opener.
Of sausages with you?
No, we'll get some summer sausage while we're up there. We're fishing, so it's cool. It'll be
it's eating. Yeah, it's gonna be eat fest.
Yeah, like we're going to like they cook what you catch during the day and stuff. It should be fun.
This will be great.
Yeah. You got quite the crew going with you too.
I've got a pretty good motley crew going with me.
When are you? Lots of bug spray.
Yeah. You're leaving Thursday night for that?
I will be here for next week's show, and then I will be the following morning. I'll be
bringing a fish with you if you got the guts.
No, I'll be here for next week.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Bring the fish with you.
Well, I'm not going this weekend.
Oh, right.
It's the following week.
So, well, but practice.
We were talking about Robin Yount in Wisconsin. And
you should get a Yount jersey before you go up there.
You should.
Yeah, I wonder what a Yount jersey's going for. Look, you probably found one on eBay.
Is a Yount jersey more or less than the Millennium Falcon is the question.
Ooh, no, that's
a signed Yount jersey.
A signed Yount jersey is definitely worth more money than
a
brand-new Millennium Falcon Lego set.
I'll say less. I'll say a signed Yount's about $225.
A signed Yount jersey? I'm going to say it's almost like $500. Got to be $500.
You're giving Yount a lot of credit.
Yeah, we are giving Yount a lot of credit.
I think you're not giving him enough.
You should start cold calling people as Robin Yount.
You're right, Clay. Robin Yount.
773.
Yeah, I've been back doing the cold calls again.
How's it going?
I went back to my old shtick of just leaving my name. And then
you have it up it?
Yeah, I got one up here on eBay for $149.
Oh,
Mike found one for $363.
I'm off by $100.
A Yount jersey.
A signed Robin Yount jersey.
I'm not seeing anything less than $140 on eBay, though. So, you know, there you go. Well, no. here's one for $3,500.
He probably wore that one.
It's a game issued, yeah. So there you go. I mean,
see, we should have stipulated it has to be a game.
A Yount jersey or the Millennium Falcon?
That's what you should make your kid pick between.
If we know the answer, he's going to go, who's Robin
Yount?
You
know, maybe he's a big Yount fan. You don't know about it.
Wouldn't that be odd?
Maybe he found a random Yount card in a shoebox and memorized all the stats.
Mikey knows everything about the 93 Brewers. Is that Gary Sheffield's rookie year, like right around there?
Oh, yeah. The Pinstripes, the boys.
Welcome to Chicago, everybody. We're talking about Robin Yount and the Brewers tonight.
Got nothing against the Brewers.
You guys gonna be? What kind of music are you gonna be listening to while you're
fishing?
I don't
know.
Every time you mention fishing in a song.
Well, it's funny you brought that up. I told my buddy,
it's gonna be country themed.
I go, man, I wish we could find some I need a camouflage tank top or something to wear while I'm on the
expose as much skin as possible to
yeah.
the bugs.
And he got back to me, Brian Murky, God bless him, and he was like, We got some camo shirts.
We got several.
I got some for you. I go, perfect.
That's camouflage.
Yeah.
Not
so
camouflage.
I'm going to go to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put the camouflage on.
Are you going to put a cowboy hat on?
No cowboy hat.
Are you going to play country music?
No. I think we'll probably be wearing camouflage, blaring Tupac all over. No, we won't be doing anything like that.
That'll scare the fish right away, Billy.
Play a lot of music. You know, we got to be quiet for these fish we're out there early in the morning.
Yeah, you got to seduce the fish, Billy.
Yeah, you do.
With the bait.
Gino, the bait salesman.
Come
put
in.
A little summer sausage
come in.
On here.
Come
into the bait shop. Close
you
the door.
You got to seduce the fish with
close
this
close the door
bait.
Behind you.
Put a little summer sausage on there.
Is what you do.
Cheese.
Yeah, put a little calzone.
Catch the biggest muskie you ever saw.
You go out on that lake, you play a little Gloria Estefan real soft. And then you seduce the fish.
You put a little calzone. Set the mood.
With my bait.
Pour a little Chianti into the water.
With my bait.
Then you take out my bait, and you put it on the hook.
There you go.
Toss it right in, Billy.
And then you go to a commercial break.
Is that how we're going here?
That is.
Okay.
More Hoolies Hoolie after these.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Hi, I'm Patty Houlihan, and I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has changed and saved lives of millions. It has been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There's no more Irish thing you can do.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Final stretch of the program, Hooley's Hooley. If you're out in the Beverly Mount Greenwood neighborhood this weekend, make sure you stop by Barney Callahan's Irish Pub.
Yes.
Tell them the Hooley sent you. Shout out to them. Or if you're in the Midway area,
which you will be,
go to the Twisted Shamrock Irish Pub. Say hello to Mike and Don.
Please do.
Absolutely. And tell them the Hooli sent you. Weird thing happened to me this week.
What?
You know how I'm a LinkedIn nut?
Yes.
You know, I love my LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I love my LinkedIn. laughs okay. I love my LinkedIn. It's okay. That's what McConaughey says to the students at the beginning of the semester. Learn to love your LinkedIn. Anyway, I was on LinkedIn. There's a feature on LinkedIn. Who's viewed your profile if you have the premium membership?
Oh, wow.
Which I have.
Oh.
Hashtag LinkedIn. I get to see who's viewed my profile, right? You can turn this feature on or off if you're a user, so people don't know that, you know, if you don't want people to know that you viewed their profile,
right?
You have that feature. But okay. This guy didn't. And I check it religiously because, you know, I do a lot of sales prospecting on LinkedIn. And
sure.
So I saw that a guy named Lyman Ward, an actor, viewed my LinkedIn profile.
Okay.
Do you know who Lyman Ward is?
I know who Lyman Zerga is, the character from Ocean's 11 that... What's his name?
Cheadle?
Plays? No.
Reiner?
Mr. Carl Reiner plays Lyman Zerga.
Well, yeah. Lyman Ward is an actor, Bill.
Oh, okay.
He lives in the Los Angeles area now, but he was Ferris Bueller's dad in Ferris Bueller's Day.
Oh, yeah.
He's a John Hughes kind of stock member, company
That's
member.
That's right, yes.
And
what's he want with you?
I don't know. I don't know why Lyman is looking at my profile, Lyman Ward.
Let's have him on the show.
Maybe we call Lyman Ward next week and say, why are you looking at my profile? What did you hear? What do you want to know about? You want to know about Ponce? You want to know about...
you know what?
Robin Yount or Uber drivers?
Next week's guest spot may already be taken.
I know, we've talked
about
this.
Bob?
I got a big one coming.
That's right. Johnny Brennan, right?
Johnny Brennan of Jerky Boy fame, also Family Guy fame, could be, possibly, most likely will be on this show next week.
Yes, Johnny Brennan has a new Jerky Boys album coming out.
It's like Tom Cruise times a million.
To us, yeah, that's a big deal to have Johnny Brennan. We've loved him growing up. And as have our listeners.
I've probably listened to his album just as much as any other music album or whatever over the last 30 years.
And I'll be interested to ask him questions about how he orchestrated the new album in an era where it's hard to get people on the phone.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
We talk about cold calling. That was, you know, he was able to have the shtick where people used to have to answer the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they can just, you know, nope, I don't know the number. Now they just don't look at it.
I think that's why they always focused on businesses like that. Like, you know, real blue-collar places, auto mechanics and tile places and, doctor's offices.
Yeah, places where they're forced to pick up the phone. You got to make money. Don't say no to that phone.
The whole operation was genius. I can't wait to talk to him.
Me either. Johnny Brennan, stay tuned next week for Johnny Brennan. Maybe we get Johnny Brennan
to call
Zyman
Ward.
Lyman Ward.
I'm calling him. Zyman.
Calls him Zyman Ward.
That's because I said,
"Hey,
Lyman
Zyman,
Zerga.
How you doing, buddy?"
Lyman Ward. Look him up. He doesn't look much like himself, the old Lyman. I remember him as kind of, you know, the handsome dad, and but he's still a handsome man. He's just old. He looks very old.
He is. He's probably 80 years old.
Bueller's day off was what, like 1980.
Is that
maybe
87? Bueller's Day Off, Ferris Bueller?
Around there.
Yeah, he probably hasn't done a lot.
Alexa, since then. What year is Bueller's Day Off?
We don't have any robots in here other than iPads.
Yeah, that don't work.
Lyman Ward was actually married to the woman who actually played Ferris Bueller's mother as well, the actor.
86. Okay.
They were a working couple.
They were for a little while. Oh, Lyman Ward.
Little Lyman Ward facts.
He was married to Cindy Pickett, who played Ferris's mother.
Wow.
Former spouse. Yeah. That was kind of Jeff Goldblum-y, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Former spouse. Yes. Cindy Pickett.
You should become best friends. Best friends with this man.
I should. I got to go. Hey, can I have a break? You know, can you call somebody?
He's not going to be able to help you. He's going to tell you to...
You should send him a note.
I'm going to send him a signed Robin Yount jersey.
Send him a
signed Pitbull CD, a Gloria Estefan CD.
Poster.
A poster, a copy of this show, and a credit Uber gift card.
And then say, I don't know, drinks? Question mark afterwards?
Arby's? Question mark?
Hey, you want to go to Arby's? Why not? Hashtag Arby's. Free ad for Arby's. That flew out of the sky. Who did you say? Who's the weatherman who looks a bit like...
Andy Avalos.
Yeah, looks like Data.
He looks like Data.
From Star Trek.
Calling that back because that just jumped into my brain.
Again. From Star Trek Next Generation.
I'm thinking about...
Oh, from Star Trek Next Generation. I see. I get confused because then I think of Data from Goonies.
No. I'm talking about the space traveler.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mike, who played Data again? What's his name?
Ronnie Bergens or something.
Ronnie
Spicer.
It's something like that. Brett Spinner.
Spicer Spinner.
I like Ronnie Spicer better.
Brett Spinner. I wonder if Lyman Ward and Brett Spinner have ever had cocktails in Hollywood.
They probably have.
You know?
They were both in the hunt in the 90s for work. You got anything, sure. Spinner?
We got to get them on the show. On this show, we do it live at Barney Callahan's or something.
That'd be unbelievable.
We got Brett Spinner. We got Lyman Ward, and we got Johnny Brennan as the headliner. Yeah. And Roy from NASCAR, the CEO of NASCAR. Roy. Just Roy.
Johnny Brennan is a whole step above all these people.
Johnny Brennan's great. I'm very excited about
like having
that.
Mick Jagger on the show.
Do we have Oh Yeah, Mike? We do? Oh, we can play that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've enjoyed the last hour of this program and its silliness and candor, you can find archived episodes of the Hoolies Hoolie at hibernianradio.org.
Mm-hmm.
It's got all of them. Goes back about. We're coming up on another anniversary pretty soon.
Ooh, yeah,
I believe it'll be
years.
17 years. No, it'll be 5 years. A full 5 years going into 6 years. We'll be starting our sixth year the second week of October.
It's unbelievable.
6 years of silliness.
We'll be starting year six, so we'll be finishing five.
6 years and not a single.
All brought to you by Hibernian Transmedia. Make sure you make a donation so you can keep the show going.
Absolutely.
You can do that at hibernianradio.org as well.
Yep.
Also, you can find us on iTunes if you search for Hoolies Hoolie on iTunes there.
And start looking for some posts if you see it on Facebook or stuff like that. The Irish American Movie Hoolie.
Yes.
Festival.
The festival. The movie Hoolie is the weekend of September, I believe it's the 28th, 29th, and 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have some more information on that as we're getting close.
We are getting close. We'll start promoting those films. Come on out. It's at the Gene Siskel Film Center.
Our sponsor is Paddy's Irish Whiskey this year.
Yeah, man.
So
you got fish to catch, Bill. That's the
I got
thing
fish
you need
to catch.
Focus on.
We got to find a Lyman Ward movie. That's what we got to get going.
You should make the Lyman Ward Gino the bait salesman.
Okay.
We could. Yeah, Lyman Ward. You want to play Gino the bait salesman
in a movie that doesn't exist?
Not yet. It doesn't.
That's a great pitch.
Until next week.
See ya.
The moon. Beautiful. The sun. Even more beautiful. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
Oh.